Well, following Senator Cardin, I want to expand on what he's told you about what Senator Mikulski has done, and not just in terms of preventive health services, but for women and for men's health in terms of biomedical research and health care. Now, I'm sure there's no one in this room that by the time you were in kindergarten didn't realize there were differences between little boys and little girls. For those of you who are young, 1990 may seem like a long time ago, but to many of us, that was just yesterday in the world of biomedical research. And yet it took until about 1990 for the concept that women and men, boys and girls, males and females, may be different. And therefore, if you're doing research to determine standards of health care, that perhaps one needs to not just use men and assume women will respond the same way, but that maybe one needs to also study women. Enter Senator Mikulski. It just seems straightforward. Ask any little boy, little girl in nursery school, kindergarten. And yet, in August of 1990, Senator Mikulski, along with three others, representing a bipartisan committee, but obviously we know that she was leading this movement, sent a letter to the NIH asking to meet with the then acting director of NIH to find out, to plan a visit to the NIH campus to find out what were the plans for addressing women's health research at the NIH. In other words, what was being done to ensure that women were being included in clinical studies that address their health on conditions that affect both men and women. We all know we'd heard about and knew about, and women's health was pretty much until that time considered bikini medicine, you know, the breast and the lower area. That was women's health, but not heart disease, which was a major, the leading cause of death, not colon disease, not so many parts that I can name. So when the meeting took place, Senator Mikulski, Olympia Snowe, Pat Schrodt, and Connie Morella came to the NIH campus, and Senator Mikulski led that meeting with the NIH director and representatives from the Department of Health and Human Services and asked, what's going to happen? And knowing it was Senator Mikulski on that day, the then acting director of NIH announced, we are establishing an Office of Research on Women's Health at the NIH to ensure that women will be included in clinical research studies that affect the health of women. I want you to know, not only did she lead the effort that day, but she is still leading the effort some 26, 27 years later. We still look to her as the leader for this area. She did not give up, and because of her, just think about what's happened. We not only have offices, it doesn't matter if you have offices if they don't get anything done, but there are offices of women's health that have gotten things done because she monitored, she made sure we had budgets, she made sure we did research, she made sure the National Academy of Science did reports to show the need for these offices and the need for this research. We have changed the concept of how biomedical research is designed and therefore the requirements for funding in that women must be included in clinical trials and included not just a few women to say women are in the studies, but enough women so that a valid analysis can be conducted to determine if there are differences or not. We now see not only the U.S., but we see other countries in the world all now talking about women's health and gender medicine. We've seen the emergence of what's called gender medicine, meaning simply that we know that it's important to look at sex differences as well as gender differences in research and how that translates into healthcare. I'm very proud of the preventive health services that Senator Cardin referred to, but just think that the basis for forming those recommendations for preventative services was based on research that was done following the establishment of women's health research as a valid scientific field at the NIH. And from the basis of science, the National Academy of Medicine and the IOM did a report on preventive services, which then got incorporated into the healthcare bill and really have shown there is a scientific basis and a continuum from research in translation into how medicine is practiced and what the standards of healthcare should be. Not only that, following that, Senator Mikulski had an interest in many areas, but to make sure there always had to be reports on whether the inclusion, how we were addressing the inclusion of women in clinical studies. I heard Senator Mikulski comment once that she was asked about women in clinical studies, and some gentleman, I'll let you say who it is, Senator Mikulski, asked her, said the reason women aren't in clinical studies is because of their raging hormones, and you can imagine her response. She said that she told him that women had raging hormones because of men like him, but we are... But she's taken those, and we've all taken those raging hormones and enthusiasm and inspiration to move forward. And just think, from a meeting on the campus of NIH to now seeing international approach to how women's health is researched, how it's practiced, and how women themselves think of their health and their bodies. And I have to, before ending, keeping within my time limit, point out that she built into that structure related to research on women's health, careers for women and for men as women's health researchers. And that just reflects also what we all know of her, her strong hold, her strong enthusiasm, her inspiration, but also looking out for others in terms of their career progression. And so biomedical careers for women became a priority of that office. It is a priority seen throughout. Well, this has been part throughout the department, and we will continue to address those issues. She has been a mentor to so many, including to me. I was asked to, you know, think of something humorous. I wasn't sure because, to me, the work that Senator Mikulski has done and her legacy is so serious. I think about how, when I first started medical school, women's health was taught. It wasn't really taught. It was like breast cancer and pelvic exams. And how today we think of women's health, we in healthcare, how we practice women's health. And I think about how all this has changed. Look at the literature, the new journals, and how this has impacted healthcare. And we can really thank the leadership and the perseverance and determination of Senator Mikulski to have this happen. Yes, others helped, but you always knew if she was behind it, everyone listened. She didn't walk softly exactly. She did carry her big stick. And so I thought, well, the only thing I could say amusing is that it isn't really amusing. It wasn't amusing to me. I was scared to death of her when I met her. And knowing her over the years, I won't say I'm scared to death. Let's just say I'm really in awe and admire the inspiration and the work that she has done to the benefit of not just women and girls, but of our families, not just in this nation, but around the world, because others have caught on to the importance of having legislative and congressional attention to these issues and how it is important for the future of our people. So congratulations, Senator Mikulski.